Well, good morning, Arundale Alliance Church family. It is a pleasure to be together. This kind of feels like, two, 3 years ago. I have a little bit of PTSD, I think, because this is a small group of people, and it reminds me of not so good of times. It's great to see so many of you, though, that made it here. It's good that you're here safely as well. And for those of you joining us online, welcome. I know many of you will be at home watching this from the safety and the shelter of your houses, and we want to welcome you to the service today. We want to give you a couple announcements before we begin. First is that if you have kids here, the nursery is self-serve. There is no one in the nursery this morning, but all the other stuff, I think, is happening with the kids. Also, if you're interested, there's a seniors event happening this Wednesday. If you want to sign up, please do so by Monday. So that's happening this Wednesday. Please sign up really today if you can. You can go to the Welcome Center for more info and to sign up, or you can contact the office to sign up too, I'm sure. We also have baptisms coming up. There have been a couple people interested in baptisms and in membership. And so if that's something that interests you, please contact one of the staff and we will put you on the list and we'll start doing some classes for both baptism and for membership at some point probably this month. Two more to go. We do have the shoe boxes. As you can see, the pile is getting bigger and bigger, but there's a little bit we can do. There's a little more space on the stage, so let's fill that out. We have one more week, so pack your shoeboxes this week and bring it to the church on Sunday. And finally, just a reminder that all of our details that I've just said and more are in the weekly e-bulletin. And those e-bulletins don't just have announcements about upcoming events, but it's also announcements about the life of this church. There's different things going on in the life of our church body, of our family. And so in that e-bulletin, sometimes you'll see cool announcements. So go take a look at that. If you are not getting the e-bulletin, please contact the church office and we will get that sorted out for you. We'll add you to the list. So let's bow in prayer as the worship team comes. Heavenly Father, we welcome you here today. We know you are with us. We know you are right here beside us. And right now, Lord God, we choose to put our mind on you. We choose to focus our attention on you. Lord, today we want to worship what you have done, not only in our lives, but in this world, what you've done for us, how you have died on a cross for our sins. So, Lord, as we participate in this worship service, help us to actually participate. No matter where we're at, no matter what our week has been, may we lay all of our distractions at your feet and come here humbly to sing songs of worship and praise to you and to hear from your word. We ask that you be present here with us today and that you would transform us through your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, there are fewer of us today in number than normal, but that's okay. Jesus tells us that if we're silent, even the rocks will cry out. So let's stand today and let's sing loudly, making up for those who aren't here, as we loudly proclaim, "Bless the Lord, O my soul."
The Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like I can't.
Thank you. Good morning, Arundale Alliance family. I'm reading scripture this morning, and our scripture comes from Genesis 12, 1-3. And the Lord had said to Abraham, Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. God's word for today.
Good morning, Arundale Alliance. I'm Cody, and I'm one of the pastors here. Today, we are starting something new, and it's for this month. It starts today. So if you are Mandarin speaking, there will be a Mandarin translation of last week's sermon, and this is in your Gears Chapel, and it's starting right now. So if you're interested, you may go to that. And also, children in Transformation Station, Jessica's at the back, you guys are dismissed. So you are ready to go there too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for bringing us all here safely. Father, we just come before you and lift all these prayer requests to you, Father, and we just ask that you can just be speaking to us. And Father, we just thank you for our international workers. Lord, I thank you for the John family in India. Father, we thank you for the ministry that they are able to do and just pray a blessing over them. And Father, we just ask that you can just provide safety for them and for everything around in the ministry fields, Lord. And yeah, just pray for safety for everyone that's over there that's doing your work, Lord. We just ask that you will continue to protect them. And Father, we pray for their schools that happened there, for the dedication that's going to be happening. We just ask that your blessing is upon it and that you can just give them wisdom. And Father, we pray and commit their finances to you as well, that as they're doing your work, that you will just be in the finances, Father. And Father, we pray for the Global Leadership Summit that will be happening on November 19th. We just ask that there can be lots of people that attend this event and that we can just see a revival there, Father. And so we just lift all of the John family requests up to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for Jerome and Morgan and the Gateway and the ministries that they do there as well. Father, we just pray for their visas, that you will approve them quickly and that there won't be any problems, Father, that they'll get their visas, that they can just continue to do your work, Lord. And Father, just pray that they can continue to have a fruitful time connecting with their Seamless Link churches and partners, and that they can find new supporters and just bless those conversations that happen, Lord. So we just ask that you will continue to help them to have good conversations. And Father, just ask that you can also give them rest, that in the busyness with meeting with others, that you can just continue to help them to have rest, Father, because that's important. And Father, we just commit their three boys to you as well, that they can continue to keep up with their homework and that they can just continue to be led by you, Lord. And so we just thank you for all the international workers that do your work, Lord. We thank you for them, and we thank you for the John family and for Jerome and Morgan, Lord. We commit them to you and just ask that you'll answer the prayer requests that they have presented. And Father, we thank you for the District Alliance churches, Father. We thank you for Milestone, Montreal Lake, and Moose Jaw, and just commit them to you, Lord, that you continue to give them wisdom as they lead the churches, Lord, that you just give them the wisdom to lead. And just bless their time together this morning, Lord. And Father, as Remembrance Day is coming up, we just ask and we thank you for what the veterans did in the past, Lord. And just we thank you that we're able to have Remembrance Day and remember, Lord. And just ask that you can bless all the services that will be happening next week, Lord. And Father, we just commit our first responders to you as well. And just anyone that's in the army, Lord, in the world, that you can just continue to be there, Lord, and be present. And so, Father, we just thank you. And thank you for everything that we as a church can do, Lord. We thank you for just this past week and the weeks upcoming, Lord. Just pray a blessing over the ministries, Lord. And Father, I just want to commit Tisdale, that as they came out for quizzing yesterday, Lord, just ask that as they're on the road today, that you can just bless them and keep them safe as they travel, Lord, and just help the roads to be fantastic, Lord, just not that they can be good. And we just thank you for all that you do in your wonderful name. Amen. I also have the privilege of introducing Pastor Glenn, who is going to be speaking to us today, and I get to pray for him as well. But most of us know who Pastor Glenn and his wife Ruth are. They used to attend Arendelle, but they felt God's call into the Pleasant Hill community. And they are also doing some amazing work, and we have partnered with them, and they have started a community pantry just outside their house. And that runs from May, or starts in October and ends in May. And Glenn is also the associate pastor at the Rock Church. And we're thankful for all that you guys do down in the inner city. So we thank you for that. And I'm going to pray for you quickly. You betcha. Thank you, God, for Pastor Glenn and Ruth and their family, and just the work that they do in the inner city, and that they answered the call to be down there and be present, Lord. I just pray a blessing over them, and just ask that you can continue to open doors for them, open new relationships for them to speak to the people that are down there that need to hear your word. And Father, we just ask and pray a blessing over Pastor Glenn as he prepares the message today. I pray that you can just prepare our hearts and just use him in his message, and that we can be convicted, Lord, and that we can just be able to do your will through this message, Lord. And we just pray a blessing over him in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Cody. Appreciate that. And it is great to be here. Arendelle was our church for 25 years, as you guys sent us out to various places, sent us out to Mongolia, commissioned us, sent us out to North Africa, and then just recently commissioned us and sent us out to the other side of Saskatoon. So we are thankful to be able to be here, and thankful Pastor Doran asked if we could come and just give a bit of a report and also share the message this morning. One of the things, as Pastor Cody mentioned, one of the things that Arendelle does is Arendelle has not just supported us over there on the other side of Saskatoon, but Arendelle has also supported the Rock Church and the kids ministry there through both finances, through both volunteers that come and serve in the kitchen there in various places, and then also in terms of even things like you guys pay the big bucks for the summer Bible camp set and materials, those are not cheap, and yet you pass that on to let us use those down at the Rock Church free of charge, so that is very also kind of you. So because of your connection with the kids ministry there, we just wanted to say thank you, big thank you from the Rock Church, and also just wanted to show just a short video just about the camp ministry, and that's sort of the culmination of the kids program. They are there each week. It's a weekly kids program with neighborhood kids from those core neighborhoods, and then they also go to camp. Those that have been involved in the program go to camp free of charge, and so that's what we'll just show right now.
Run dry.
Thank you. So that just gives you a bit of a picture of the kids and some of the kids in the neighborhood and the camp experience that they have. One of the things that we also wanted to do, we also wanted to just thank you as well for your prayers for us over there as we seek to serve in our neighborhood there in Pleasant Hill, and just your encouragement, both in finances, also in providing some of the dry goods, the food for the food pantry that we have as well. And another thing just wanted to mention too, some of you prayed for us when we were over in North Africa and have continued to do so. If you want prayer updates, you can also talk to Ruth after the service. So 2 years ago, some of those same kids that you see in the videos are also kids that Ruth, as a substitute teacher in the neighborhood in those schools, gets to see as well. And so it's always cool that as you get to know the neighborhood, that they get to know you. And, you know, we're in our backyard working, and kids will come by and say, "Hi, Mrs. Reimer," and we're passing out candy on Halloween, and they're like, "Oh, Mrs. Reimer, you live here. Now we know where you live." And and Mrs. Ryer was, well, I think quite a few people know where I live already, but so then as was mentioned also too, a year and a half ago then I was hired as associate pastor at the Rock Church, and my responsibilities there include tech and small groups and then also community outreach. And so that's part of our, that gives you just a little bit of an overview of our focus. And one of the things I thought I would do is just read Genesis 12, 1 to 4 again, just as we start here. And thank you, Klaus, for reading that. And we'll just take a little bit of a reflection and look at that now. So the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And that's Genesis 12, 1 to 4. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for just the marvelous variety in your word, the people that you show us in your word, the way you show us, the way that you relate to us as your followers, and just all that we get to see of your mind and your heart in the word. And Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, we just pray that we would be impacted by it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would impact our hearts. We pray that we might gain what you want to say to us from this passage, and that we could go out and apply it. And we pray this in your name. Amen. This passage in particular has been a special passage for me. Just each time we have felt God asking us to go to a different place, whether Mongolia or now North Africa or Pleasant Hill, this passage has often been on my mind and has often been a prayer. And we see here God telling Abraham to go, and with a special purpose. And this passage really overflows with God's purposes for us. And so we're just going to look at four elements of that purpose today. The first element number one, is risk. And we see that in verse 1. And it says here, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And here it is a move from the known to the unknown. And so just point A there, we see going from the familiar to the unfamiliar. We go from having tons of relationships where we know everybody to suddenly we get dropped into a place where we know nobody. So it's going from that warm place of relationship and body life to suddenly it's just loneliness. We also go from having provision. You go from having a steady job to suddenly you go over there and you don't know what might happen in terms of your work over there, the finances over there, all that. And there's also a parallel passage to this. Hebrews 11 also talks about Abraham. And it's sort of, there's the humorous part is really over there in Hebrews 11, because there's a few humorous things there. But one of the things that it says is that Abraham went, even though he had like no idea where he was going. Zip, he had no clue. He didn't know where he was, God was telling him to go. And for us too, sometimes we've had that too. We were, you know, packed up. We leave from Moose Jaw with our two little suitcases each, and we're heading out to Outer Mongolia. We've never been there before. We have no idea if the guy that we sent a telegram from Moose Jaw is gonna be there at the airport to pick us up, our potential employer. We just know that we have 2 weeks of cash and then we have to buy a ticket home if nothing happens. So if the guy doesn't meet us and we can't get work there. So it was, again, it was the unknown. We'd never been there. And the same when we went over to North Africa. We'd never been there before. We were just landing in a spot that we had no idea what it was going to be like. But as we were driving from the airport, I just remember seeing the ostrich farm on the side. And I said, oh, yeah, just like Karamport. Had a little ostrich farm near there, so sometimes you see elements of home there. And I think the other thing we see about this particular verse is that God actually commands us to risk. God didn't say to Abraham, you know what, would you mind going, you know, if you're okay, if you have the time, if you're okay with it, do you mind going? He said no, he said go. It was a command, it was an imperative. And I think that sometimes there's this aspect where the call to go is, or the call to fulfill the Great Commission is only for very, very special, very special, very godly, very amazing people, only for the very most godly. And sometimes I've had people comment that, and they obviously don't know me so well. But it's, you know, not only would they, if they looked at me, would they be disappointed and see all kinds of flaws. If you look at Abraham, and in preparation for this sermon, I actually read through all the chapters in Genesis on the life of Abraham, and it's quite interesting. He had a lot of flaws, and he had some very deep flaws. He had flaws that I was embarrassed to put in the sermon. I had them in there, and then I thought, no, I'll take them out. But he had a lot of flaws. He was not a perfect person by any means, and neither was Sarah. Sarah and him were not perfect people. They were not the perfect couple. But he, nevertheless, had two qualities that God really prized, and that was that he had faith. He believed what God said, and he acted. So he had faith, and he obeyed. And that was what God was. That is what God's looking for in each of us as well. The one thing that's interesting, if you go back, if you just rewind the tape a little back from Genesis 12:1, and you look at the last part of Genesis 11, there's a hint. We don't know for sure, but there's almost a hint that Terah, his father, was also given the same commission, given the same command to go from the land of Ur and go all the way to Palestine or Canaan, where Abraham was also told to go. But the verse says, but Hera stopped at Haran and stayed there and didn't go any farther. So sometimes it seems maybe Terah is an example of someone who heard God's call to do something, but only sort of went halfway and then stopped. Whereas Abraham went all the way and just kept going until he had finished what God told him to do. And the other thing about that point about God's commanding us to risk, I think the other thing that we don't realize sometimes is even though it's more comfortable to be safe, I'm a very risk-averse person. It just bothers me immensely, when I can't get my son to wear a helmet when he's biking, and that'll never go away. But also, too, if we look at the parable of the talents, who was God really harsh with? God was really harsh with the one guy who played it safe, and all he did was he said, you know what, I think the safest thing to do is just take this talent and bury it in the ground. That's like a risk-free. I'm not going to risk it trying to make a donut shop or a restaurant or anything. I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And that was a risk-free solution, but God was really harsh with him. And when we look at modern-day examples maybe of just people being told to go, just thinking of Pastor Regier's funeral this week. And being there, and you saw on that slideshow at the beginning, you see that God called them and sent them to Shaunavon. Then God sent them to, they planted the church there, which my dad got, that's where my dad, my stepdad from Frontier, got to know Pastor Regier first. And then they went to PA, and they evidently planted the church inside an igloo, if the funeral picture or slideshow is to be believed. No doubt a bit of Pastor Ernest's sense of humor still coming through there. And then they were told to go to Lawson Heights. And some of you are here, were with them in Lawson Heights when they planted a church there. And others of you are here when you guys came from Lawson Heights to here to plant Arendale. And so you just see God told them to go, they went. God told them to go here, they went. And you see a life that is lived listening to God and going in obedience, moving when God asks to move. One of the other things about risk, sometimes in our ministry, sometimes in just as we are trying to be ministers of the good news, ministers of the kingdom, ministers of the gospel, which we are all called to be in our ordinary lives, we have to take risks if that's going to happen. A couple weeks ago, we got a call at the church asking for someone to go. Someone was calling, and they were saying they're out of the province, and they were calling, and they said, well, we found your church on the internet, and we were wondering, you looked like a good church, and we were wondering if you could send one of your pastors to go meet with my brother. And it seemed a little bit, there was a few things about the situation that were a little scary and a little bit risky. And, you know, so when deciding which pastor to send, there's the lead pastor who has like 25 years of experience. He's hard to replace, but someone with like just a year and a half of pastoral experience, it's not hard to replace that kind of a pastor if something goes wrong. So I got sent out to do this, and then I was going to meet this person, but this person didn't want to meet in a public place, like in a restaurant. So that was already, I was already starting to spidey sense tingle. Then, you know, so we were going to meet, we were just going to go through the drive-thru and we just talk in the car. And I'm already feeling a little bit uncertain. And then as I'm driving, I'm starting to think, you know, should I really be doing this? I was given an address to go to. And then just like 10 minutes before, I get a text saying the address has changed and now I'm going to meet you in another location. And if you watch enough cop shows, you know that when they change the location suddenly at the last minute, that's never a good sign. So I was worried, so I thought, well, you know what, maybe I'll just park my car like a block and a half from the car in case I have to, like, make a run for it or something. But it was okay. I walk up, we introduce ourselves, we start talking, he seemed okay, and then we get in the car, and he had a bag with him, and I wasn't sure what was in the bag, so I was watching carefully when he reached down to pull a glass of thing of water out of the bag. So anyways, it turned out that he was actually a lot more worried about meeting me than I was worried about meeting him. But there was a point at which I was seriously thinking, this may sound funny, but I was seriously thinking, I'm not sure if maybe I should just turn the car around and go and ask him, meet him when he's ready to meet in a restaurant. But it worked really great. It was, he's not a believer, but I was able to pray with him, able to be an encouragement to him in that way, and able to form a bit of a connection that hopefully will continue on. But it only happened because I sort of overcame some of my resistance to risk. And I think all of you have times when the Holy Spirit has told you to do something, you didn't necessarily want to do it, or you had some apprehension of doing it, but then when you went and talked to that person, or you went and took that over to your neighbor, the result was always, you see, oh wow, the Holy Spirit was in that, and he really blessed that because I was willing to take a bit of risk. And I think sometimes it's when we are inside a church as well. If you look at just how the kingdom, and this is point C, we build the kingdom often outside of the building. There's lots of good things that happen in our building. And now, as a person that works on staff at a church inside a building, I know that there's lots of good things that happen in the building. There's lots of good things that happen in the building at the Rock Church. There's a lot of good things that happen in the building at Arendale. But I think that when we look at one of the things that struck me about a month ago, just reading in the Gospels about Jesus, was that so much of his ministry was not in the building. So much of his ministry was as he met people on the street, here and there. That was where a lot of his ministry was. And I think that to really tap that potential of what God wants us to be as the people of God, as the body of Christ, we need to also think not just of ministry in the building, not just of trying to bring people to the building, but also of having all those spheres of how many, you know, let's say there's 200 people that regularly come to Arendale, or 250, however there is. We want that to be, those are just 250 spheres of influence and connection that are scattered all across Saskatoon. And that's also where we should be taking the kingdom of God. And so just that aspect of going outside our building. Element number two is greatness. And this is a bit of a odd one in some ways, but verse 2 says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Here, if we look at this, the first thing is that the secret sauce is not that we are going to do this, but the secret sauce is that God is going to do this. He is the one who will make us into a great nation. He is the one who will take us, fill us with his Spirit, and multiply the influence of the kingdom out from Arendale, out from the Rock Church. And he will make us into a great nation. Another thing that struck me as I was reading through Abraham's life was that this promise of making him into a great nation did not come at all in his lifetime. Like he had like two sons at the end of his life, and that was it. And the thing is the same for us. We sometimes need to realize that the sowing that God asks us to do in our spheres of influence is something that we may not see the result of right away. We might not have an amazing story to tell about someone who came to the Lord right the first time we talked to them. But as we pray for them and continue to sow, we might be able to see that in many years, or we might not. Maybe God will just say, hey, I appreciate what you sowed into that person's life, but as Paul said, one of us waters, one of us, one of us plants the seed, one of us waters, and then God causes the harvest. So that certainly happened with Abraham. He did not see, even Hebrews 11 says, they did not receive what was promised. The next one, B, about this is, I will make you into a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great. This is really the backwards part. This is not normally the way we sing it. We normally sing about your great name, right? Even today, we sang about the High King of Heaven. Another line in one of the songs we sang was, Jesus, we honor your name. That's the way it's supposed to be, the way we should be. So why is it backwards here? Why is God talking about making Abraham's name great? And I think that one of the things that we receive from the Lord is as we receive his blessing, that blessing becomes obvious to the people around us. Joseph, for instance, it was obvious that Joseph, whatever he did in the prison there, the warden was like, wow, God blesses whatever you do. And the same for all of us. All of us should be in spheres of influence in our workplace, with our neighbors, at our school. We should be So we should have that blessing should be on us. The people around us should see that. They should see it in our spirits. They should see it reflected in the joy in our hearts. They should see it in the way we do our work, in the way that we treat people. And this could be seen for Abram. The Hittites, when he went to bury Sarah and asking about a grave, the Hittites said to him, "You are a mighty prince among us. You know, you take whatever you want, any of our tombs. It doesn't matter. We'll give it to you." So he had obviously, there'd been an aspect of making their name great. And one of the things that we didn't know when we went to Pleasant Hill, with us being white people and a lot of indigenous people, given the history, they have a lot of reason not to trust us, not to be friendly, not to want to be friendly, not to want to have anything to do with us. And yet that was not what we received there. We received friendliness and we received trust. And even a lot, people communicated appreciation as we served into the neighborhood. And the same as we look at the kingdom in your neighborhood, what is it that God wants to do in your neighborhood to serve? What opportunities to serve are given there? And, you know, Jesus has the verse, he says, if whoever wants to be first must be your servant, and whoever wants to be great must be your slave. And I think that's where, if we want to have a great name in our sphere of influence, we need to serve, and we need to be servants, just like Jesus was. Then element three is from, we'll look at verse three here, and element three is transmission. And as we look at verse three, it says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And I think one of the things we see here is not just does God fill us with blessing, but he also fills us with blessing that blessing might spill over. And one of the things we see there is just, I could call it spillover, but it's just that aspect of, I will bless those who bless you. And Abimelech, who was one of the Palestinian rulers there, or Philistine rulers there, could see what was happening with Abraham and how blessed he was with God, and said, "Hey, I don't want to be your enemy. I want to be part of, be sort of almost underneath your blessing. Let's make a treaty. Let's work together." And the same things here. And you know, as for the Holy Spirit is almost like he uses us as a container to take him into all these places. And Ruth is often felt in terms of as being a substitute teacher, you know, lots of things going on in these classrooms. These kids come from lots of different situations at home, and yet she gets to be a container for the Holy Spirit to be there in that classroom as a Christian teacher. And other of you are teachers, and you have that same opportunity as well. And I think the thing that we see is that you see that blessing transmitted, and people respond to it. And one of the things, too, is that in terms, and this ties back a little bit to the first point and to this point, but when we were in North Africa, Ruth would be invited to go to these women's wedding parties. The wedding was always divided between the men's party and the women's party, and she would be invited to go to the women's party. And they were like late at night. And this was in the middle of a you know, civil war going on, and they would be at midnight. And this is a country with no addresses, so she didn't even know where she was going, and she would text me the GPS coordinates when she finally landed at the location, at the salon where the place would be, the party would be. And then they had to come, these ladies in this car had to come, you know, through militia checkpoints in the middle of the night. And I was just at home, you know, like, just pray. And it was like, it was not something I was brave enough to do, but Ruth was. And you know, what's cool is that God blessed that and used that to allow her to still have conversations, phone conversations this last week, different things as she WhatsApps them and back and forth. And there's just this aspect of continuing that transmission of blessing that we receive is still possible because of the risk that she took. And I think the other thing we see here is it says all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so this is worldwide. It's not just here in Saskatoon, it's not just in Saskatchewan, it's not just in Canada. It's Ryan Munchinski going over to the other side of the world, to Japan, okay? It's those of us that would be going to other places where there aren't 200 churches in a city. There's places where people don't have the chance to hear about Jesus and the gift, tremendous gift that we have been offered. And then finally, the kingdom of God in you. And here we see that this blessing is about the kingdom of God being inside us. And A.B. Simpson said, "Christ is not a reservoir, but a spring. His life is continual, active, and ever passing on with an outflow as well as an inflow." And there's that fact is that we can't just take in the blessing. It also has to go out. And for myself, it's just as easy, even though I'm now hired as a pastor, it's no easier to suddenly be full and bubbling over with the Holy Spirit than when I was a high school teacher or when I was teaching ESL. It was still the same thing. The principle is the same. We have to go to Christ to be filled, and then we have to have that bubble out and spill over us. And so I guess my question for myself is, am I daily taking Christ in? Am I listening to him? Or am I just like barely making it out the door to get to the church to start crossing things off my to-do list and miss that time with the Lord altogether? So when I bump into people, am I a full cup, brimming over with sparkling water of Christ and the Holy Spirit that spills over onto them in joy and kindness and patience and truth? Or am I just sort of like when I take my cup of my mocha from the morning and it just sort of, it sits there and there's a little bit of dried chocolate and dried coffee at the bottom. And then if you leave some water in there for long enough, the other thing you notice is that water becomes dusty, right? It has this dusty taste if it just sits there for a week. And is that what I'm spilling over onto other people? Or am I spilling over fresh, clean, sparkling water each day? So the last element is wentness, and that's verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And just, I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced, but it's fun to pronounce it that way. So anyways, just one thing. And the one thing that's interesting is that Abraham didn't do a ton of things. He didn't put up a radio tower. He didn't start a school. He didn't start a hospital. He didn't. You look at his biography in those 12 chapters of Genesis, and you don't see him doing a ton of stuff. He was just asked to do, really, he was asked to do one thing, to go to listen to God and listen to do what he asked him to do. And so it's just a going, and he went. And the other thing, again, is it's like he was like barely one dude, barely one person. He was like just, even as a couple, the Bible doesn't speak really like, oh, this amazing couple full of energy and this amazing couple. No, it says they were an older couple that were like almost, you know, and Hebrews 11 again comes in with a little bit of humor and says, you know, and Abraham went and him as good as dead, like sort of just this guy that's just barely, you know, he's got his walker almost. That's almost the way that you describe him. He's just barely able to get along. And that is the person that God called to do this amazing thing. And so I think God points out to us, none of us have an excuse for saying, oh, I can't go, I'm not strong enough, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not gifted enough, or I'm not godly enough. God just asks us to have faith and to listen to what his Spirit is saying. And doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter what condition we are in, this is what he asks us to do. And so just that fact is the kingdom of God in one thing. And just, I guess my question is today, what is the one thing at this point that the Holy Spirit is asking you to do for the kingdom? And we don't have to think about all complicated things. We don't have to think about everything that's really difficult. But just think, what is it that the Holy Spirit has sort of been nudging my heart to do? And I know for myself, I feel like if I sort of don't listen to the Holy Spirit, or he gives me prompts and I don't listen, his voice gets quieter. But as I listen, his voice gets louder. And as I obey, his voice gets louder. And so All of us need to have that practice of listening to what is God telling us to do. And he can tell us through the word, through that passage of scripture that we read in the morning. He can tell us as we're walking to work or driving to work and reflecting and praying. Those are all ways that God can say, hey, you know what? I think you should really go and do this or go and talk to this person. So just in conclusion then, I guess as we look at this passage, the one question I guess I would have for myself and for all of us is just, what is God asking us for? And maybe you're here and you've been also wondering about, what's this blessing that they talk about? Maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Maybe church is something new for you. What is this blessing? And this blessing is that good news that we have the opportunity to be released from our guilt and our punishment. And it's only through the fact that Jesus has taken the punishment for us, and we can go to him and have forgiveness of sins, and then he becomes our Lord and our Savior. And I think this passage also talks about that. When we accept him, he also becomes our Lord. So when he says, go, we do like Abram, and we obeyed and went. And this could be geographical. Maybe God's asking you to move from one country to another, maybe from one place to another. Maybe it's just an idea that the Holy Spirit places in your head. Maybe it's a prompting to talk about this person who doesn't know Jesus and talk to them, and share them the truth. Maybe it's something that you need to say. Maybe it's a change of life direction. Maybe it's a change of career. Maybe God is just asking you to use your creativity, use one or two talents that he's entrusted to you, and maybe God is not saying specifically what he wants you to do with that talent, as in the parable of the talents, but he's sort of just sitting back and saying, hey, I've given you these gifts. I want to see what you're going to come up with, what idea you're going to come up with to use these gifts for the kingdom of God. And then for us, we just need to ask ourselves, am I listening? Am I listening to the Spirit? Are you listening to the Spirit? And we want to be people who go, who went, and who obeyed, like Abram. So at this point, I'll just ask us to take about half a minute. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and just reflect in silence as the worship team will come up. And let's just take 30 seconds of silence just to reflect on what this passage might be saying to us.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's your closing song today, and maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe there's something big, maybe something little that he wants to respond to. Doesn't matter if it's big or if it's little. Responding in obedience is still responding in obedience. And so I'd ask that you'd stand with us as we sing, as we worship God, as we respond to our message today.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do shine.
drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship's meet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the Savior Lord. Jesus, 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 how I trust
him how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Thank you, worship team. Just remember, there's coffee crossing after the service for us to have a chance to connect. And just as we sang, as we go out this week, let's remember that what he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Let's pray, just to close. Dear Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the way that you can speak to us through your interactions with someone who lived thousands of years ago. And Lord, I just pray that you might help us. May your Holy Spirit help us to apply what we have been looking at in this passage this week. May we also take these beautiful words that we have sung as we have worshiped you through this service, Lord. May we also continue to sing and worship you through our days as we go into all of our different spheres where you have placed us. And we just pray this in your powerful name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.